glad his hand reached further down than what we could reach up. Hallelujah. If you'll go with us to Luke chapter 15 this morning, and I want to do something that I don't do much, but I want to preach a message that I preached some years ago here at the church, and I was looking at some messages I had on Luke 15 that's been a while that I've preached, and then the Lord just give me some other messages here that I plan on preaching in the next few weeks to come. And I want to say this, I'm not preaching through this chapter just to see how long I can preach through it. I just want to be in the center of God's will. Amen. And when I started preaching in this chapter, I didn't know that I would preach five messages, let alone I don't even know how many I have preached. But I just, from week to week, whatever God speaks to my heart, but seemed like He just won't let us get out of this chapter. And no telling what He's doing. Amen. And I appreciate the presence of the Lord. If you'll stand with us, Luke chapter number 15, I'd like to read three verses of Scripture and have prayer. And then we'll give you the message that God laid upon our heart. Notice with me in verse number 23. The Bible says, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." Then notice verse number 27. "And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Then verse number 30. "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Heavenly Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us these next few moments. Lord, you know every need that's represented in this building. And I pray that you'll do the work that no man can do. We ask you, Lord, to speak to people in this building that needs to be saved. I pray the Holy Spirit would put them under deep conviction. Even right now, they'll see their need for salvation. And Lord, may they come and get born again before the message is even finished. I pray they'll get out of their seat and come and be saved. If there's someone here, Lord, that is backslid, I pray, God, that you will speak to them this morning. God, I pray that they would see themselves in this prodigal. And Lord, that they might see the need to come back and repent and be reminded that you've been too good to them for them to live backslid another day. Lord, I ask you now to encourage those that may be discouraged, strengthen the weary, but most of all, we pray that you get glory and honor that's due to your precious name, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we do ask these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Of course, we know what is taking place here. The son has come back to the father, and the father has been working. The father has been waiting, and the father no doubt has been watching, because the Bible says that he saw him afar off. You know, it's interesting that the father never quit doing what he was doing, even though the son had left. He remained the same. And I would say to every parent that has a prodigal, do not compromise, do not back up, do not sell out, do not get soft, and do not blame yourself for the way that that prodigal may be living. The father never blamed himself, because he knew if that son was ever going to get right, he would have to take the responsibility for himself and see himself as he was. And you know, that's the way it is with anybody that gets right with God. They'll have to eventually quit blaming everybody around them and realize that it's their sin. They must own it and they must claim it in order to get right with God. If so, they'll never be right. But when we come to this text here, the father is doing the speaking in verse number 22 and in verse number 23. And he sends a servant for a robe in verse 22, a servant for a ring, and a servant for some shoes in verse number 22. But when we come to our text this morning, you'll notice he sends a servant here to kill the fatted calf. And amongst all the orders that he is giving to this to these servants concerning this son, I think this order is different than all the other. You say, what would you mean? Well, everything else that the father is mentioning in verse 22, the robe, the ring, and the shoes, they're for the external needs of this son. They are for what you would see on the outside. But the calf is to satisfy him internally. Amen? And what I mean is that as fine as the robe is, and as wonderful as the ring would be and the shoes would be, none of them would satisfy the hunger that was taking place on the inside of this boy. I remind you that this boy almost fed himself with the husk that the swine did eat. And so he comes home. He comes home bankrupt. He comes home broken. And I tell you, he come home starving. Amen. And the father knew that there was a hunger on the inside that only the calf would be able to meet.
Another thing that would separate it is that the robe and the ring and the shoes had no life in them whatsoever. They are just materialistic things that possess absolutely no life. But when you think about this calf had life. Amen. This calf has life and is going to give his life. And when we think about the calf, it's mentioned three times. The robe, the ring, the shoes is only mentioned one time. But when we think about the calf, when we come to this text, the father mentions it first. And then we notice the servant mentions it in verse 27. And then the son, the elder son, mentions it in verse number 30. When the father mentions it and speaks about the calf in verse number 23, he is delighting in the sacrifice of this calf. As the Bible says here, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Why? And let us eat and be merry. So the father mentions his calf, and he is delighting in the fact that this calf is going to be sacrificed. He's delighting in the sacrifice of this calf. And then the servant, when he speaks about the calf, he is declaring the sacrifice of this calf. It is the servant that tells the elder son that the father has killed the fatted calf. Amen. So the father kills the calf, and then the servant tells the other son, who is just as lost, that the father has killed the calf. And then finally we see the son in verse number 30 as he is speaking about the calf, and he is despising the sacrifice of the calf. So you have one here that is delighting in it, you have one that is declaring it, and then you have the son who is despising the fatted calf. And I want to preach a few minutes on that subject this morning, on the fatted calf. Amen. The fatted calf. And I want you to see this calf this morning because of who it represents and what it means. I would say, first of all, that the father delights in the killing of the fatted calf. And I want to say he delights in it because of what it represents. You say, what do you mean? Well, you'll notice here that he knew that the day that his son came home, he knew that this calf would die in his son's place. Amen. You see, in the mind of the father, this calf was already slain. It was already sacrificed in his mind before the son ever came home. The killing of this calf, what I'm saying to you, was not an accident. It was not a coincidence. It was not chance or circumstance. This is not something that he is doing off the cuff. It is not an afterthought. The father planned this to take place. You see, he knew that boy would come home one day, and he knew when he came home, the calf would have to die in his place. Amen. I want to say this morning, this calf, we understand, it represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For it was Christ that died in our place. We were just as lost as this boy. My friend, the material things of this world would never satisfy the longing that was going on in our soul. But thank God, it would take more than material. It would take life and blood that would have to be shed so that you and I could be satisfied internally. I'm talking about the spiritual side of a man. And it pleased the Father in this text here to bruise, to slay this calf. Amen. Now, if you want to know who killed Jesus, I want to tell you, it was not the Roman soldiers. It was not Pilate. It was not Herod. It was not even the angry mob. But the Bible said in the book of Isaiah that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I'm telling you, it was God the Father. In the mind of God the Father, before the foundations of this world, Jesus Christ was a lamb that had already been slain. He died for me and he died for you, and he gave his life and he shed his blood just like this calf, so that we could be eternally satisfied. And I'm thankful this morning, because every word of this story represents Christ. When the father makes the statement in verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, every word represents Christ. The word bring means that this calf was summoned. Bring it. Christ was summoned from the portals of glory to come to where we are. The word hither, you know, that's a country word, isn't it? I mean, Yankees probably hadn't figured that one out yet, amen? They don't go around saying hither, but I tell you, it's in the Bible, isn't it? So he said, bring hither the fatted calf. And when you think about it, that word hither, it means a specific place. It means, we know what hither means. It means right here, doesn't it? You don't have to have a commentary. Maybe if you're from Wisconsin, you might need someone to help you with that. But I'm telling you, we know what the word hither means, don't we? It means right here. And so that calf was stationed. It was brought to a certain place. My friend, it was killed in a certain place. I want to tell you, Jesus didn't just die anywhere. He died in a certain place. He died on a hill called Calvary. Luke 23:33 says, and when he were come to the place which is called Calvary, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't die in an accidental place. God formed that hill. God knew the day that he formed that hill, that would be the very place, Golgotha, that his son would shed his blood. May I say this? He didn't spill his blood, amen? That would mean accidental. He shed his blood for every man, woman, boy, and girl, so that we could be saved, amen? The calf is summoned. It is stationed. And then notice he said, bring hither thee, not a fatted calf. You know, I'm sure this wasn't the only fat calf on the farm. But he didn't say bring forth a. That would have meant anyone you wanted to pick. But this calf here, when you think about it, this calf is specific. He is a certain calf representing. He had a representation. I want to tell you, Christ is not a Savior. He is the Savior. Amen. And he said, bring hither the fatted calf. And then the calf is small because he's a calf. And you think about that. Christ, he humbled himself. The Bible said he became obedient unto death. Jesus came, why? Not in the form of a Lord or a king, not in the form of an angel, but he came in the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Amen. Jesus fashioned himself. He became a man. Christ became small so that he could win us. Hallelujah. The calf is small. The calf is slain. The Father said, kill it. And then the calf is shared. Notice what he said in verse 23. Let us eat. Everybody got in on the calf. You notice that? Everybody got to partake of it. It was for the son, but it was really for everyone. I mean, there was enough calf to go around. Amen. I think about the word fatted. It means this calf was stuffed. So the father had been feeding this calf. He stuffed this calf. Colossians chapter number 2, or chapter 1, said that in him, talking about Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm telling you, listen, God is a spirit. Isn't that right? And Jesus came in the form of a body. He came in the form of a man. Jesus has a body. And God is a spirit. But Christ, the incarnation of Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. And so, just like the calf, the Bible said, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. Thank God. And the darkness comprehended it not. I'm glad Jesus came, and He was the fullness of the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. I'm telling you, God poured every bit of who He was in the personality or the person of His own Son. Jesus is God, and God is Jesus, and you cannot separate the two. I'm talking about this calf. It was fatted. All the promises, everything we have, it is in Christ this morning. Our hope is in Christ. Our salvation is in Christ. I'm telling you, our hope is in Him. Who we are is in Him. Thank God our claim is in Christ this morning. All that we are and all that we have and all that we will ever be is because of Jesus this morning. The fatted calf. And then the calf was a substitute. The calf, you see, the father had every right by the law to take this boy's life. He could have killed this son. But instead he killed the calf. The boy didn't die. No, the calf died in his place. Instead of it being taking the life of this son, he took the life of the calf. The calf died for him, and Christ died for you, and Christ died for me. The Father delighted in this.
because the Son was able to live. I want to say this morning, I'm glad that Jesus died in my place. Romans 5 and verse 8 said, but God committeth to live. Go back a verse or two. The Bible said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's who we were. For scarcely for a righteous man one die yet, peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God is involved in this thing. The Father is involved in this thing. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you, the calf is nothing more than a representation of Christ. It wasn't a calf that died for me. It wasn't a calf that died for you. It was the Son of God that died for us. Jesus died. God gave hell. Heaven's best, so that you and I could miss the flames of hell. I'm going to tell you, sinner, you ought to get saved for a number of reasons. But one reason, the number one reason, is that God loved you enough to give the only begotten Son He had so that you could be saved by the grace of God this morning. And I see the Father's delight in the killing of the fatted calf. And then I see the servants declaring the killing of the fatted calf. Notice verse 27. He tells the son, and he said unto him, here's the story, thy brother is come. And notice this, he said, the father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now, if you look in the text, the father tells the servant, doesn't he? But it's the father's word that got it done. You know how we are saved this morning? By putting our faith in the Word of God. You know how I believe, you know why I believe and why you believe Jesus? I never saw Jesus. I've never been to Jerusalem. Don't buy me a ticket. I wouldn't fly right now there. I'm sure you're not standing in line to buy me one right now. But I've never been to Jerusalem. I've seen pictures, but I've never stood and looked at Golgotha. But I believe it's real, don't you? I believe Jesus really came. I believe He was born of a virgin. We believe He lived a sinless life. Not only did He not sin, He could not sin. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was God in the flesh when He came to this earth. For 33 and a half years, I believe He walked this earth. I believe He carried an old rugged cross up a hillside. I believe He died at Calvary, and He died for our sins. You say, why do you believe that? Because the Father's Word is what said it, amen? And the Father's Word is what gets it, is what settled. You see, the servant is not telling the Son what he said, but he's telling the Son what the Father has told him personally, amen? I'm telling you, this servant can be a picture of a soul winner, can also be a picture of the, and a type of the Holy Ghost, amen? Because it is the soul winner that tells us the gospel. But it is the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes and lets us see the Father's Word and what the Father has to say about the one that has been slain for you and I. I thank God for the day that the man of God, the servant of God, got up and preached the gospel to my soul. Oh, but I thank God for the day that the Holy Ghost came to where I was and lifted the scales off my eyes and showed me I was a sinner and I could not save myself. And He rescued me. Oh, thank God for the day the servant came. Amen. You see, you'll never get saved. You could hear 1,000 sermons. I could preach, if you're here and you're a member, I could preach to you till I'm blue in the face. But you'll never get saved until the Holy Ghost opens your eyes and puts you under conviction. And I'll tell you, if He ever puts you under conviction, you'll know it. You say, what will I know, Brother Gravely? You'll know you're guilty as charged. You'll know you cannot save yourself. And you'll know that you need to be born again. Brother, I didn't know John 3:16, but I knew I was going to hell. You tell me how I knew I was going to hell. Well, the preacher preached on it. But I could have said, I don't believe that. But somebody bigger than the preacher opened my eyes and said, son, you really are going to hell. He made a believer out of me that day. I'm telling you, if you realize you're lost, you need to get saved.
Jesus died for you. The servant, if he comes to where you are, I mean, he tells him, he said, the Father hath killed the fatted calf. Why? Because he hath received him safe and sound. I want to tell you, sinner, if you'll come to Christ, if you'll accept him as your Lord and Savior, you know how the Father will receive you? He'll receive you safe and sound. I'm glad this morning that the only fire, as the songwriter said, I'll ever feel is the one that's burning down in my soul this morning. I'll never have to worry about going to hell. Why do you think the devil tells you that sometimes? Because he's mad. Because you're saved and you're not going to hell. I want to say this morning, I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad I'll never have to pillow my head and worry about where I'll be in eternity. I may die today. And if I die today, thank God, I'll be in the arms of Jesus. I'll be on the portals of glory. I'll be in the presence of God. I'll not spend one night in the charred walls of the damned. Because of Jesus, it is good to be saved. Hallelujah. It's so good to be saved. I'm telling you, if I don't shout over nothing else from here to the graveyard, I'm not shouting because of what I feel. I'm shouting because of what I know. And sometimes I feel it and sometimes I don't. But there's not a day that I don't know it. Whether I feel it or not, I can shout because I'm not going to hell. Hallelujah. I thank God for emotions. Some days, I mean, they're just dead, aren't they? But I'll tell you, when I get up, I read this morning the Gospel of Luke. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is as real as you'll let him be in your life. He's real this morning. That Bible's real this morning. I'm telling you, the Word of God speaks to you, doesn't it? Just the pages of God's Word, it cleanses your mind, it cleanses your soul. I'm telling you, like a river running through the recesses of your soul. I mean, if the devil may tell you you're lost, but if you'll pick your Bible up and read it, and if you connect with that Bible, you'll know you're not lost, amen? Because it'll speak to your soul. Brother, I'm telling you this morning, when I think about the Father, he delighted in the killing of the calf. The Son, he declared it, and we should declare it to others this morning. If you're here and you're lost, if you go out this building lost this morning, you'll stand before God one day without excuse, because you've had the privilege this morning of hearing what 2/3 of the world has never heard, and that's a clear presentation of the gospel. And then the Son, in verse number 30, he despises the killing of the fatted calf. His anger is mentioned in verse 28. He's so angry he would not go in. He gives an answer in verse 29 to his father. He said, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. He could not see his own sin. And yet you never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. It was all about him. Notice that. But as soon as this thy son was come, which devoured thy living with harlots, here he's really upset. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Can you imagine how the father must have felt when that prodigal son left? And then now he comes home. Can you imagine the day the prodigal left? This elder son is angry because his brother has been delivered. Now, why would anybody be angry that their brother has been delivered? There's only one reason why. It's because this elder son, he's lived on the farm, he's lived around the father, but obviously he doesn't know the father. He doesn't know the father's heart. He doesn't know the father's will. If you read this story, you know the heart of the father is that he gets his boy back. The will of the father is that his boy be delivered. I think if you lived on the farm any length of time, you wouldn't have to be around the father too much to know that he loved both of his boys. But just like how religion blinds people that sit in church every Sunday, this boy could not see the love of his own father. He could not see the heart of his own father. You know, there's people that go to church and they sit under preaching every Sunday. They've been around this all their life. But they're just like this boy. They don't have a clue as to what the father's heart is. You say, why is that? Because they don't know him.
He didn't know anything about it. He didn't know anything. It shouldn't have surprised him. Didn't surprise the servants, but it sure surprised the son. I've seen people sit in church and people get saved and get born again and have a great service, and all the while, not making this up, I'm telling you what I've seen. Have a great service, people get saved, and I've seen people do this. My Lord, how could you care about time when somebody misses hell? I've seen them pack up while people still down in the altar doing business with God. You say, what is that? They probably don't know Him. I've seen people be in a good service and go home and be junkyard mean. Yeah, I'm looking around while I'm saying it. Some people, listen, they're not backslid. They've never been born again. When God saves you, He puts a love in your heart. Some people don't love the church even though they're a part of the church. Or they're in the church. I don't know if I'd say they're a part of it. The problem is they've never been born again. This calf, I want to say this morning. This calf represents some things. Let me give them to you and I'll be done. Number one, this calf represented a person. Because he not only represented Christ, but he represented the Son. You see, when that boy left, that father fed that calf because he believed there'd be a day that boy would come home. And when that father saw that calf, he didn't see a calf, he saw his son. This calf represented a person. It represents a boy that has gone wayward, a boy that has backslid, a boy that has walked away, a lost boy. However you want to put it this morning, he represents all of those that have either never known God or those that have walked away from God. You say, how can you say that? Because he represents both categories of people in Luke chapter 15, the publicans and the sinners, and also the Pharisees and the scribes. But he represents those as well because all humanity is lost without Christ. Amen? And when the Father saw that calf, you might be here this morning and say, how could God the Father give God the Son to die? Because He loves you. He loves you this morning. And the father, when he saw that calf, he didn't see a calf. He saw a son. The calf represented a person. The calf represented a prayer. This calf was living proof that the father was still hoping and praying for the son to come home. You see, if you got a prodigal, you're praying for them to come home. And probably some days are just like some days for this father. They're never going to get right. They're never going to come home. They're never going to change. The more you pray, the worse they get. Has the devil ever told you that? I've heard that many times from people. You know why the devil tells you that? Because he knows prayer works. And the fact that you haven't given up on your son reminds you that God has not given up on your son. I'm telling you, if the whole world gave up on your daughter, your son this morning, remember this. If you don't give up and if God don't give up, you're still the majority. Is that right? I don't care if everybody said, man, there's no hope for this. I bet they said there's no hope for that boy. I bet when they heard there was a famine, somebody probably come by and said, you know, that boy's probably dead. You might as well kill that calf and let's eat it now because that boy probably died in the famine. He might have even heard word that he'd wasted his substance. I don't know. But the word couldn't have been good coming out of the far country because the word is never good coming out of the far country. But that father had hope. And when he saw that calf, it was a reminder. I'm going to feed that calf one more day. I'm going to tell you, if you got a prodigal, feed that prayer closet one more day. Feed it one more time. Because every time you go before the Father, it is a reminder that neither you nor God has given up on that one that has walked away. I'm telling you, listen, others may not have looked for that boy to come home, but the Father looked and saw him afar off. And if you can just see in your mind afar off, if you can just keep that image of that one that has walked away from God, if you can just keep that hope of that day that they come home and they get right with God, don't lose that image. Hallelujah. That father looked over that hill when there was nothing, but he kept on looking. He kept on praying. Day after day after day after day after day, he looked over that hill, over that road, and said, well, maybe today's the day he comes home. The sun would set only to look again and say, maybe today is the day that he comes home. And when he saw that figure, that silhouette coming over that hill that day, I want to tell you, he dropped whatever he was doing. He didn't have to ask no questions who it was. That boy didn't look the same when he left or when he came home as when he left, but the Father knew him. What I'm telling you is, pray for your prodigal. Beg God, shed tears, shed more tears. Keep on praying, keep on weeping, keep on believing God. Feed that fatted calf, amen? I'm telling you, that calf got fatter by the day, amen? I mean, listen, he didn't put some scrawny little calf out there for him. You know why? He kept on pouring it on. I mean, pour the prayers on. Keep on believing God. Keep on trusting God. Keep on asking God. Hey, you say, but it's been a long time. I don't care how long it has been. It's short compared to eternity, but God is still on the throne. And as long as you're speaking to God, you can rest assured God is speaking to them. Amen? They're not going to let you know it. They're not going to tell you about it. But you keep talking to God, and God will keep talking to them. Hallelujah. You know how I know that to be true? Because every prodigal I've ever met just about says the same thing in this sense here. That all the while I was out there, I never could forget how I was raised, the little country church, my mom and my dad. It doesn't ever go away from them, friend. There's not enough booze. There's not enough dope. There's not enough demons in hell to erase the memory of what God puts down in somebody's soul. I believe prayer is stronger. Don't you believe prayer is stronger than the devil? You believe prayer is stronger than alcohol? Do you believe prayer is stronger than all the pleasures this world could ever offer somebody? Then pray. Keep on praying. Keep on shedding tears. I was in a service. This has probably been 12 years ago. I saw a man come down the aisle and get saved in this church service. And I'm telling you, he was probably, I'm guessing, in his 40s, I'm assuming. But he had his head completely shaved. And his head was a big old spider web. His whole head was tattooed, a big spider web. Come down that aisle, had on a leather vest and blue jeans and biker boots. Had a big old billfold with a chain. Y'all remember that? Running around to his belt loop. He come down that aisle weeping. Like a little old baby. I'm talking about a big old masculine man. He come down that aisle weeping like a little old baby. You know who came walking behind that man? A little old frail mother who'd been praying for her son. And he got born again that morning. I don't know how far, and I don't know how long he'd went. I don't know how far out in sin he'd went. But I know the prayers of that mama brought that biker man home that day. I believe God still answers prayer, don't you? Brother, there's things this morning that the devil says it is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep feeding that calf. I'm just going to keep on feeding that calf. You say, Brother Gravely, do you ever doubt? Oh, sure I do. My flesh is like everybody else. But I tell you, when you doubt, you know what you need to do? Breathe a prayer. Amen. When doubts arise, and when something, whether it's the flesh or the devil, said it's not going to happen, that's the time to bow your head and ask God one more time. Say, God, I believe, but would you help my unbelief right now? If he'll do it for that man in the Bible, he'll do it for you. This calf, it represents a prayer, then it represents a promise. Because he believed that boy would come home. Now, I'm going to tell you something about praying for prodigals. You got to do more than pray. You got to believe they'll come home. And that's easy preaching and hard living. When you hear how they're doing and the things they're saying and how they're living. And then sometimes the things they say to you. But you got to believe that God is going to get a hold of them. You got to believe the promise. Matthew 21:22, in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You got to believe that when you ask God, that he's able to do it and that he will do it this morning. Then I'll say this, that calf, finally, it represents a party. Because when the boy gets home, there's a party, there's a celebration going to take place. You know, when a sinner walks the aisle, it's quiet in here this morning. I don't know if it's because it's raining. I don't know if it's because you're tired. I don't know if it's because my preaching's deader than 4 o'clock. Could be any of the above right now. But you never know at Bible, do you? You come in here sometimes, and some churches, it's dead all the time. I've never been in a church where it's on all the time. Sometimes you come in here and it's on, and sometimes it's just like crickets this morning, except for whatever that was, and that phone that just went off. But it's just like crickets. I don't know why it's that way sometimes. I quit trying to figure it out years ago. You go nuts doing that if you're a pastor. But I know one thing, as quiet as it is right now, I bet if somebody walked this aisle and got saved, there'd be a party take place. There'd be a celebration breakout. Brother, I've seen services, and you have too, where I mean it was. And I'm not saying it's dead this morning. I don't know what it's just quiet. Whatever it needs to be, I reckon. But I have seen services where it was dead, and you knew it was dead, and I knew it was dead. And somebody walked out and get saved, and all of a sudden, life. Well, that's what it is when somebody gets saved. It's life, isn't it? People come alive. And we walk out and say, man, wasn't that a great service? Well, it wasn't until the end. But the end made it worth everything. I hope that happens this morning, don't you? It was good in the end. I'm going to tell you about this story. It's not good for several verses. It's not a pretty picture. From verse 11 all the way down to verse number 20, there's nothing good. I tell you, it gets good in the end, don't it? Amen? I'm telling you what. Hey, life isn't always good. And you may be burdened this morning, and troubles and trials come. I can't do anything about the problems and the pressures of life. I wish the world was different. I wish the church world was different. I wish I could change every bit of that, but I can't. I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be good in the end. Amen. I'm telling you, we're getting close to the end, brother. And just any day now, our Lord is coming. I'm telling you, the trumpet of God is going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And we, which are alive and remain, are going to be caught up together in the clouds with them to meet the Lord in the air. And it's going to be good in the end. It's going to be real good in the end. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're going to miss the end, because you're going to die without Jesus and go to hell. Don't go to hell this morning. Why go to hell when God has made it to where you can go to heaven? If you'll come to an old-fashioned altar, now hear me this morning. Hear me well. If you don't hear nothing else, I want you to hear this. Sinner, you want to go to heaven? You want to be saved? And get out of your seat. Come down to this altar and kneel before God and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Come down here. Would you do that for Him? You can't do it for me. You can't do it for family. You can't do it for friends. But if you know you're lost this morning, why go to hell when you can go to heaven? Jesus paid the sin debt. Anthony, Jesus died for you, and He loves you. I don't know if you're saved, but if you are, if you're not, He'll save you this morning. He'll save anybody in this building. Anybody. He'll save you. Let's stand this morning.